Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 208 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are still in the skill descriptions section. We've spent the last couple of days, while we've been skipping over some very familiar physical skills, in the Z files, and we are going to be returning to them today, because today we arrive at rogue skills. These are more skills we've already talked about in previous episodes and seasons, but before we skip over them completely, I do want to talk about one skill that I gave to Crackpot Joan, the unlucky soul we have been developing throughout this skills and occupation section, the landscaper who knows monsters are real, but has no practical skill to do anything about it, and so lives a life of frustration. As you'll know, if you're a patron, there was a bonus episode where I created Crackpot Joan and another character in full, and in that episode, in randomly generating a disposition for Crackpot Joan, we arrived at the fact that she is a gambler. It makes sense. She's at a point in her life where she's wanted things for a long time that have not panned out, and so she's taken big swings. And part of that is literal gambling. Therefore, as a secondary skill, I gave her gambling standard. That is, as distinct from gambling dirty tricks, which is a separate skill where you cheat at games of chance. Crackpot Joan would never cheat. She would never take the easy way out. In fact, she would never even take the regular way out. Crackpot Joan instinctively seeks out the path of most resistance. She may not make a lot of progress, but it also hurts a lot. But even she needs to relax, and she does that by, you know, going to the occasional bingo night, hitting the casino from time to time. She lives, I think, not in belief that she will eventually hit it big, but driven by a conviction that she should hit it big. And, you know, there's a social aspect, a certain adrenaline rush from being tantalizingly close to success, and it fits her personality, so gambling as a secondary skill. Needless to say, it's a secondary skill. She is not very good at it. She is at the base 30%, so to the extent that you can be good at bingo, she isn't. Other than that, I don't have much to say about rogue skills. We've seen them before, and you know what that means. It's time once again to delve into the Z files, the archive of paranormal foes and possibly paranormal friends pulled from the pages of Villains Unlimited, Palladium's supplement for its Heroes Unlimited RPG. Today we open the Z files to case number 150, Facade. Now, I want to step back from the format immediately today and do something a little bit different with the Z files. I'm going to spoil this one by saying this is the first and I think only character in the Z files for this season that I'm not recommending. There are issues with Facade that are too intrinsic to the character for the character to be readily usable, but nonetheless, I do want to discuss Facade for a couple of reasons. First of all, after suggesting that you, the listener, use a lot of pretty rough ideas from this book, I want to give an example of what I wouldn't recommend and why, to sort of flesh out my rationale. And number two, I do think there is really something of value here, even though the character is not usable, and I want to put that on the table to the greatest extent that I can. That said, this gets into some stuff about gender, identity, and presentation that is not in my wheelhouse, so I'm just going to stick to my practical consideration as a GM or a player, figuring out what to do with what's on these pages. You know that meme where it's like talking to trans people about gender, and it's a picture of the Greek philosophers, and then talking to cis people about gender, and it's the woman playing with the cute baby? That's me. I'm cute baby, so settle in for just a few minutes talking gender with cute baby. The basic concept here is that Facade appears to be a masked woman who is a sort of noble criminal. Very anti-corporate, very anti-establishment, leaving the little people alone while targeting rich people and powerful companies with heists, sabotage, and sometimes just direct revenge for irresponsible actions for which they haven't been held accountable by the law. So far, so good, right? The real gimmick with Facade is that Facade's secret identity is Jack Nagano, who is described as a, quote, female impersonator who conceals his spree of noble crime by taking on the Facade identity. Facade presents as a woman, Jack Nagano does not, and therefore Jack evades detection. Now, I am just a cute baby in matters of gender, but I've done enough reading and talking to people to know that one of the big no-nos is to align any kind of gender bending, fluidity, transness to deception. It's such a negative stereotype, such a harmful conflation of ideas that you just don't want to handle it. So a character called Facade who gets away with crimes by pretending to be a woman is like, for me, a non-starter. I wouldn't use this character. And I also wouldn't want to talk about this character if it were as simple as it's a nefarious man who dresses up as a woman to do crimes. But it's really not that. The backstory is pretty interesting to me, if only subtextually. Here I'm going to quote from the text, using its pronouns, although to me they are open to question. Quote, he is a product of the aggressive and ruthless corporate world of Japan. When he could tolerate no more, he quit his low-level, dead-end executive job and fell into a deep depression. After months of melancholy and thinking, he realized his money was running out, and he moved to a seamy part of town. To make ends meet, he took a part-time job as a female impersonator and dancer. To his surprise, he had a knack for makeup and disguise, and rose quickly to become a headliner at the club. But still, something was missing from his life. After 6 successful years as, quote, Jackie, he quit and joined a secret cult-like monastery that immersed itself in anarchist philosophy and ninjutsu, which is, if you take nothing else away from this episode, there's your money's worth. Secret cult-like monastery that immersed itself in anarchist philosophy and ninjutsu. But moving on with the story of Facade. As it turned out, the monastery was tied to an underworld ninja organization and served as a secret recruiting facility. The monks would look for individuals that had the right talents and mindset to become a ninja. They would then teach them some basic ninja arts and see how they would develop. If the individual shows some talent, they are recruited into the ninja criminal organization. Now, it goes on to say that Jack was taught a number of important ninja skills, like disguise, evading surveillance, and in fact, these are specific abilities that you can take from ninjas and super spies if you're using that game. Also, Jack's spiritual development unlocked mutant powers. So Facade also has the powers of wingless flight, extraordinary speed, advanced sight, imperviousness to fire and heat, and energy expulsion energy. So flight, power blast, super fast, sees really well, just kind of a grab bag of powers, but interesting when combined with stealth, disguise, kind of a cool, weird combo. And interestingly, mutant powers unlocked by personal and spiritual development. So the monks offer Jack, hey, you want to be a ninja? Jack says, hey, no thanks. This is my stop. I'm getting off. I don't really want to be a ninja. Quote, he had come to peace with himself and found his niche in society. This is where Jack decides that the world is fundamentally unjust. Jack actually develops class consciousness. Quote, Jack decided that there is little justice in the world. He figures out that, quote, most people, especially the educated, wealthy, and especially corporate leaders, were all out for themselves, and that they used and abused everybody around them in order to get what they wanted. From here, he basically decides, there is no justice in the world, therefore I am free to act as I desire, and I want to play this game against its masters. Jack has sympathy for the people being used as pawns in this game, and so when Jack plans heists as Facade, Facade never hurts those people, and in fact goes to great lengths to make sure they aren't hurt, but Facade has no compunctions about hurting the wealthy and powerful. Under the theory, they are not bound by morality or justice. No one is. I am free to play this game ruthlessly against them. Facade is a master of disguise, a self-made criminal millionaire who gives lots of money to charity to help the poor. In addition to the birth name and legal identity of Jack Nagano and the criminal identity of Facade, Facade has a number of different aliases, including men and women. And here's the thing. When you read the whole story, this does not sound to me like this, if you'll pardon the term, mustache-twirling villain who thinks, aha, if I dress as a woman, then I can fool them all. I don't get that from a person who is depressed and despondent at their dead-end job, quits, doesn't want to go back out into the world, finally, in an extreme situation, sort of starts dressing in women's clothing as a lark, and this touches off a whole period of, like, personal transformation. I mean, 6 years dressing as a woman professionally, leading to retiring to a monastery to develop yourself to an extent that, like, Facade's mutant powers become active. This is, like, deep introspection and transformation that includes a shift in class consciousness, going from being a despondent corporate employee to, like, I see the world more for what it is. I have to make a difference. I'm finding my power. I'm finding myself. So I'm going to go out into the world as a tall, blonde, flying ninja and start kicking the shit out of CEOs. That doesn't sound like a person who's playing a trick. That doesn't sound like a person who is cynically using a cover. As I said, this is not a character I would bring to the table, partly because of feeling inadequate to the task of, like, knowing whether I'm getting it right. Because this would need such a serious overhaul, it would be a lot of work and I would never feel confident with what I'd done with it. But if you want one cute baby's opinion, for the right person, there's really something here. I don't think you're going to end up with a character called Facade, who is a master of disguise. And then, you know, there's the big reveal scene where, like, the mask comes off and it's like, oh my God, Facade is Jack. That's clearly, like, on the gimmick level what this character is. And I don't think that's something I want. But the character whose backstory is a combination of discovering their gender identity, their class identity, their place and calling in the world, and their development of superpowers as kind of a parallel metaphor for that, resulting in a flying blonde ninja who kicks the shit out of CEOs. All that stuff is extremely appealing, and there's some subtext there that could be developed in a lot of different interesting directions. Again, in this cute baby's opinion, there could be things here that are offensive and I'm not seeing, problems with representation, and certainly none of it is something I need to be putting out to the world in the form of like a finished product or character. But like as a player, I would be receptive to a character in this vein who is gender fluid, as long as we're not meant to understand the various looks as disguises over like a quote unquote true gender. I'm definitely receptive to a character with this backstory as a trans woman, although once again, I don't think we're going to end up with a character called Facade with a secrecy gimmick. I may be open to this character as more of a character who's transgressive in gender expression, whether trans or cisgender, but then at that point I kind of want the mask to be off and I want a smarter, like I don't want the character to be fooling anybody. If this is a presentation that's meant to be transgressive, then obviously it can't be like a trick. The line for me is there's a deception aspect to this character that is integral to like the name and the concept that can't be removed without making it a fundamentally different character. So despite the fact that there are good ideas here, I'm not recommending it. I would like to see someone's character based on this at the table, but I wouldn't want to see this character at the table. So to me, that's where this is a no. Whereas something like Evil Eye or the Dread Micro Wizards of Chaos, I could take a Sharpie to those entries and just like delete certain passages. And we've got something I have no problem with and that maintains the fundamental value that I think is there. So I'm comfortable saying, hey, I recommend this. Just, you know, grab your marker, make some cuts, and we're good to go. There's nothing here you could cut to make it work for me. It just needs more of an overhaul. So I'm not recommending Facade, but you know, if you're interested in doing something in this vein, I'd maybe recommend taking the inspiration of the backstory and finding what's good here and making a character who makes good on the promise of some of this backstory. On a final unrelated note, while we're here, I have to note that in the weapons entry for Facade, it says, quote, relies on his super abilities, but can try to use any weapon, which I think is just a delightfully earnest and optimistic note. Anyway, that's what I've got to say about Facade. Thank you for indulging me in a little bit of time with Cute Baby. I want to extend the offer that anybody who is closer to this material, anybody whose lane this is, wants to comment on Facade or my treatment of the character. I will very happily read your comments. And if you want to make them public, I will put them on the show verbatim. Just let me know. In any case, that's it for the Z-Files today. Join me next time as we return to Beyond the Supernatural for a skill we've never discussed before and a truly wonderful application thereof on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. The theme for the Z-Files is Lightless Dawn by Kevin MacLeod. Kevin MacLeod's music, used under a Creative Commons license, can be found at incompetech.filmmusic.io. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.